Hey, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. So glad you joined us. Really, we are. And you're part of the group that's helping us free America, one enslaved mind at a time. We really appreciate it. Yeah, I still got a little cold in my throat. You can hear it. But hey, I feel great. I worked out last night, going tonight to the gym. But thank you for your well wishes when you heard the little raspy voice. I do appreciate that. We have a tremendous guest today, Brandi Wells. And yes, she's the wife of John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight. And I'm really the replacement for Coast to Coast. I'll just leave it at that. We want to be nice and proper here. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And listen to me, what's happened in the silver market? What's happening with the, what was $193 billion that went to the banks today? And they're trying to make it secret from the Federal Reserve. Yeah, banks are in trouble. Silver's in trouble. I mean, it's a mess. People are going to go to gold. Noble Gold is who I use. I'll just leave it at that. Noble Gold is who Dave Hodges use. It's who I trust. I'm hiding a lot of my resources there because I know I have protection. I want you to call them 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Tell them I sent you. Well, we're going to be talking about something really, really unique. Unfortunately, though, I've been hacked. That's right. And fortunately, I back up all my critical files on critical backups, like all my Charlie Kirk files and all that related stuff with that ongoing investigation. I put it on disk, couple disks. I put it on different computers. Some never go on the internet and it goes to the cloud. Now your cloud can be messed with too, but I had a casualty this morning and the system went down. And not only did the system go down, a lot of my key on computer stuff about Charlie went. Fortunately, I have backups. Well, one of the things I didn't back up because I didn't think anyone would really care to interfere was an article that Brendy wrote that we're going to talk about. And Brendy, I already forgot the name,
Oh, Sky Kings.
Sky King. That's it. And it's a great article. And I told Brendy that I say, hey, we need to have you on to talk about this. And so being the holidays and stuff, it took us a little while to get this all put together. But here she is. Brandy, welcome to the show. I'm so glad to have you back on.
Hi, Dave. Thank you so much for having me. What an opportunity. God bless you. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you and John too.
Thank
And
you.
folks, if you haven't checked out Caravan to Midnight, it's on all the servers. All you gotta do is put the name in. I advertise it this way. It's the best show on radio right now. It to me, it reaches the peak, if not beyond, what Art Bell did before Art Bell was interfered with. So you guys are really at the cutting edge of so much stuff.
Thank you so much.
But anyway, let's talk about your article and why it's important, because we live in times of such great deception. I think this fits into that model. So tell us about what the article is about and what caused you to write it.
Thanks, Dave. I call the article Sky Kings, the Empire Overhead. And I think a lot of people have started waking up. I mean, there's so many people that have woken up during the COVID era because you got locked into your house and you didn't really have much else to do.
Sure.
So a lot of people woke up, but there are still people today that are starting to wake up and starting to see things. Now, specifically, you, me, John, and everybody in the truth movement, and specifically we who are close to the Lord and have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is so faithful. He is everything that Scripture teaches us he is. And he does say that the Holy Spirit will stick closer than a friend and will show us things we do not know and give us insight into what we are looking at. So when I started understanding that the world that we live in is not what it seems to be. I think my moment in time was when I realized that the state of Israel wasn't what it portrays to be. To me, that was a shock because we believe in Jesus and our Messiah and we thought Israel is they were the chosen people. And at the end of the day, when I understood that Israel is a people, not a plot of land, that's where my understanding started. So I don't want to go and dig out all this information, but I do have to give you the context of exactly where this has come from. And that has been my journey. I was so distressed. I remember I was just sitting in a corner, crawled up almost in the fetal position, crying. I felt that my whole world shattered. And I prayed a prayer. I said, Father, so I get it. If everything that I believe is not true, then please teach me, show me, show us the truth. So he has taken us, this has been 3-4 years now in the making, and just trying to track the enemy. Where is this one world government coming from? Why does everything seem like it's being run by systems and not people? There's no accountability, nothing. Mm-hmm. Every crooked politician just seemed to get away with it. And I mean, if you and I do the things that they do, I mean, we'd be locked up and keys thrown away, if not executed. But they just seem to get away with everything. And that's the reason, is that there is a system that runs everything behind the scenes. And why is that? Because nobody can claim accountability. The system, they always go back to the system. It's this entity, it's that entity. And even if you look at a crooked politician, I mean, I can pick anyone, but if you look at, if the FBI or the CIA, not that I would trust them to investigate anything really at this point, but having said that, if they start to investigate, say, Adam Schiff has, I mean, we as a people have seen all the lies he's told blatantly to the camera, all the horrible things he's done. But all his activities is hidden behind NGOs and bills and, I mean, a system driving his activity. He's just the puppet. So ultimately, at the end of the day, people don't understand that this world is already being run by a system. Now, where is that system? That's where it started. And it took me all the way to the City of London. And please, I am just on a roll here, so just stop me when you need to.
Well, you are on a roll, so please, keep rolling.
Thank you. So the City of London being the financial hub, not the City of London in the sense of London City. There is one square mile inside London called the City of London.
Right.
And it is sovereign, just like Washington, D.C. is to in America. Now, the City of London, operated and controlled by the Rothschilds, that is the financial hub. Then you have the Vatican, which is also a sovereign land, sovereign property, sovereign country, that is the religious hub. And then you have Washington, D.C., who is the military hub. So now that is where, and I think a lot of people has drawn that conclusion and come to a realization, okay, that is, if you put it all together, I mean, I can back this up with so many scriptures. All you need to do is go to jellyfish.news and click on Brandy Wells. All my articles are there. Everything that I'm telling you now, I've backed up, I've documented. There's scripture and evidence and white papers. Everything that I tell you, I back it up. So just go there for verification. But having said that, Mystery Babylon is already operational. And it has been operational, literally, since the Second World War. The First World War really was the building process with Zionism coming into effect. I don't know if even people know that the UN, there was a resolution in the UN, I can actually give you the number, I think it's 311, and they declared Zionism a vile, racist organization.
Really? When was that? When was that done?
Okay, I can let me look that up for you, because it's something that John and I are actually putting together. We're going to do a show about that.
Wow.
But the United Nations General Assembly adopted Resolution 3379 on November 10th, 1975, declaring that Zionism is racist, racial discrimination, and extremely radical. It was later revoked through Resolution 46/86 on December 16, 1991. And that's when Bush started coming in with his One World Order. Okay, so that's what we're looking at. So isn't it funny that the people, there was a resolution in the UN that they are radical racists, but yet they are the ones screaming racism at everyone else. Was
Yeah, that
interesting.
to me that is interesting. And by the way, too, we're not talking citizens in Israel, the Jewish
Oh,
faith.
no. No, no,
That's
no.
not what we're talking about. Well, I've experienced this, Brendy. I'm opposed to us sending money when Netanyahu's using it for wars of foreign imperialism, okay, like what he's doing in Gaza, and there's no other word for it than genocide. And when I say that, they go, "Oh, well, then you're anti-Semitic." No, because I oppose a government leader, it has nothing to do with anybody else.
You cannot be an anti-Semite if you worship Jesus Christ.
I
He,
agree,
I
totally.
mean, he was a Semite.
I
He's still a
know.
Semite. So it's just a ridiculous slur. It's the same as you're a sexist, you're a racist, you're a this, you're a that, you're some ist. It's all weaponization of words to vilify you, to shame you, to whatever. I mean, coming from South Africa, being called a racist, I mean, it's like. These days are just, it doesn't even matter anymore.
I
It's in
hear
the
you.
beginning, you kind of like, oh, I'm crushed. How dare you say that? Now it's like, oh, I see what you're doing, moron. So let's get back to where we are. And you were right to interrupt me there because, Dave, the citizens of the world, we are all the victims. Whether you're black, brown, yellow, pink,
True.
white dots, doesn't matter. Everything has been co-opted. Religion, all churches, there's 501c's, all of this, it's all control mechanisms. And when I realized that during the Reformation, the apocryphal books that was taken out of the Bible by Martin Luther, his explanation was, yeah, well, they weren't inspired by the Holy Spirit. How did he know that? Those books like Enoch, Jubilees, I started Esdras, specifically Esdras. And when you start reading these books, you understand why it was taken out because it gives you context for the rest of the Bible.
Sure.
Once you read those books, you understand, oh, then everything starts to make sense. And all these things that they've been telling us are so symbolic. It's not symbolic. It's actually very, very, very real. It's literal. But if you don't have the context, you don't understand that. But coming back to that, we have been living under a one world government, whether we knew it or not, since the Second World War, since the creation of the State of Israel in 1948. That's when everything started. I mean, everything was in play up until that point, but when.
Brandy, I want to ask you a question on that.
Yes.
Do you think the New World Order power comes out of Israel, or Israel just part of an overall operation?
It will ultimately come out of Israel, and I'll tell you why, because of the throne of David. God said to David, he made a promise to David that he will always have a man on the throne on earth, always, forever. That has never changed. Then when you start to trace back who Israel really is, because it's a people, and what happened to Israel, Israel is currently in, the English word has just escaped my mind. Captivity. They currently in captivity and spread across the nations. Father said that they will be dispersed all over the world because of their sin, and that the time of the Gentiles has opened, where there is an opportunity for anybody who is not of any of the tribes to receive grace. If they receive Jesus, they declare him with his mouth, believe in their heart that he is Lord, and he died on the cross and rose again for their sins. They are grafted into the vine being Israel. God says Israel is the apple of his eye. There's nothing we can do about it. People can scream racism. It doesn't matter. It is what it is. But that doesn't mean that only Israel will finally go to heaven. A lot of Israelites of the tribes are not going to make it because they are still very, very obstinate and they reject God. So God has opened a window. So anybody who received Jesus, anybody, Jew, black, white, yellow, doesn't matter. If you receive him, you are grafted in and you become part of Israel. You become a co-heir with Abraham. Scripture says that. So that is it. Now, to get back to your question, that throne of David is the British throne. It has been usurped. The rightful heir of that throne, the final king, is Jesus Christ. He's going to sit on that throne. That is what Scripture teaches us. But what is Satan doing? He wants to steal it. He's not a creator. He's not a, he can't do it. He's an imitator. He's a liar. He's a thief. He's a murderer. Everything that we see that God created, he inverts. He takes what God made and twists it around, perverts it, and then brands it something else. The Lord's Prayer, they recite it backwards. The cross, they hung it upside down. Everything that they do, they just invert what God created. So this is the thing. When Jesus died on the cross for us, he took back the authority that Satan stole in the Garden of Eden. And that's why he said before he went back, I have defeated death. And I'm going back to my Father, and he's going to send us a helper. But he said that we will do greater things than he did when we understand who we are, because we were made in the image of Christ. But that throne of David is highly contested, because Satan is going to sit on it and declare himself God. That is the abomination of desolation. That is what's going to happen, but it's going to happen in Israel. Now, my story that I am sharing with you plays into that, and this is the Sky King that I'm talking about. Now, if you look at the space treaty, now I don't know. A lot of people say the earth is flat, and a lot of people say the earth is round. I actually wrote an article about that, jellyfish.news, and it's called Why the Shape Debate is Irrelevant, because it's neither. It is sealed. We are in sealed frequencies. I have documented the entire teaching. You can go and read it. There's a firmament above us. We have the ground. We have, because God gave us authority over sky, earth, and sea. We do not have authority in the second heaven in space, where they are throwing or blowing satellites into. We don't have authority to go there. We have, as man, authority on the earth, on the sea, and in the sky where the birds fly. We shouldn't be going up. Then you have space, and then you have the firmament. They cannot penetrate the firmament at all. It's written in Scripture that it is like a metal plate. They can't. There's gates in there. They call it portals or various things. Ezekiel called it wheels. Enoch called it portals and doorways where the watchers came through. And in Genesis 6, started going in with woman, creating the Nephilim.
Right, right.
So
I want to ask you a quick question, though.
Yes.
Do we know how far out the firmament is from Earth?
There's no, in Scripture, I mean, Job gives the best description of sizes and measurements. Where finally, when Job talks to God and God speaks to Job, and he says, were you there when I measured the sea, when I measured the expanse? Were you there when I pulled the sky? So there is probably the biggest indication in the Bible in Job in terms of the size, but it's pretty vast. I mean, there's a lot of space between heaven and how can we say the first heaven, which is just above our sky. That is where Satan and his minions operate at the moment. That's where they are. We cannot see into that dimension. We only see darkness because we are blinded at the moment. However,
that fits what I'm finding. There's a bit of science that's confirming what you're talking about. And it comes from the Google supercomputer called Willow that solved this math problem in 15 minutes that would have taken billions of years to solve with our current computers.
Yes.
And they went and asked the question, and it's still being debated. They asked the question, who created the universe? And there is a couple of realities that come into play here with this. One is everything rotates. Two, everything has a frequency that's different, and that they're finding math patterns within math patterns. Brendy, here's the key thing, and the scientists aren't mentioning this part of it. It's something I picked up on when I heard them talk about it. They talk about self-correcting errors, correcting errors with self-correction in computer programming. And these quantum computers all have this element to some degree. Well, they're finding in the design of the universe, it's self-correcting errors. And I told a friend of mine that I've discussed this with, I said, the ultimate self-correction of errors is Jesus on the Christ, on the cross.
Amen.
And that corrects all the sins from the past and allows us a pathway to go forward. But here's my point. Whether Google realizes it or not, they're confirming the existence of God.
Absolutely. I know that they gave a Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI, they gave him, I can't remember what the phrase was, but they asked him if scripture and the Bible was true. And Grok came back with, I don't know how many pages of just verified, verified, verified. But his most mind-blowing conclusion was it is the only book he's ever read with fulfilled prophecy over thousands of years and with so many different authors remaining on the same theme and staying consistent. So that's pretty mind-blowing. The AI, I mean, I can tell you we can do a whole show just on that in terms of its origin, because this is not the first time it's been around. It was actually operational just before the flood in the corruption, because there's an acceleration of corruption going forth now as a result. Having said that, coming back to the space and the Sky Kings, originally, and I just have to look at my notes because I have so much in my head, but this is the date, 1967, the first covenant, the Outer Space Treaty. That was the very first, and the funny thing is they call it a covenant. So it's interesting, but it'll make sense now as to why I say it, because God makes covenants and not people. They make contracts. So the first space treaty said no nation can claim sovereignty over space or celestial bodies. All space activity must be conducted for the benefit of all countries, and then states are responsible for their government and private entities in space. Now, just like every bill that we see, you know, reimagining this or that, I mean, it sounds on the surface, it looks like wonderful. That's just great, you know. So space is neutral. No, it's not. What that did is it created a vacuum so that nobody can claim space, not until they were ready. And then in 2021, the UN signed the new covenant. Space 2030 UN resolution agenda. Okay, so or the UN resolution, the Space 2030 agenda. And what happened there? It was unanimously accepted by every country. Not one country opposed it. And what did that do? It made the UN the supranatural body, controlling body of outer space. Now, outer space, not like what NASA says, just space that goes on forever and ever. The space between our sky and the firmament, where the moon and the stars and those heaven bodies are, where the satellites are being deployed at the moment. Now, we had a General McGinnis on the show, and he was talking about the underground sea cables, or the undersea cables, the communication systems. And how that, and I mean, I worked in call center, so I am familiar with how important those cables are. I mean, there's always some kind of risk in terms of somebody wants to sabotage it or it's being hacked. There's always ships around there and what's those things that goes under the sea?
You mean the
my God,
submarines?
submarines,
Yeah.
yes. Yeah, submarines. I think of it in my language, Dijkboot, and I'm like, okay, I can't say that word. What is it in English? But even so, yeah, the submarines is always lurking around there, always trying to infiltrate, and that is where most of the hacking is coming from. So General McGinnis said they are trying to move all those communications into space and let it be handled by satellites. And I thought, that's a very interesting. Now, read the UN 2030 Space Resolution, and it tells you exactly what it's going to be managing from space. Let me read it to you. Climate systems, agriculture and food security, oceans and fisheries, global health, vaccine passports come to mind, communication networks, environmental enforcement, disaster coordination, economic planning, national development framework. You see what I'm talking about? Now you're looking at a system run by AI autonomously from space. That is an empire in the sky. Now you go back to scripture. And what does scripture say? That, and this is it. Remember when Jesus said that he saw Satan fall to earth like lightning? So this is it. Satan, there's a war in heaven right now. And there's going to come a moment where Satan is going to be thrown out and he's going to hit earth. And God says, woe to the earth, because Satan's down there. He's not here yet. He's above fighting a battle. But the moment he gets thrown down, that's when tribulation begins. And that's when the beast shows up. And that's when the sky king emerges. Now, coming back to the question of how does Israel play a role and why did they have to annex that piece of land? Because Israel is a company registered in Kensington. It expired from 1948 to, I think it expired in 2020, and they had to renew it. So it's got nothing to do with God. It's a political movement. And scripture specifically tells us that Israel has nothing to do with politics. So coming back to that, the throne of David is the throne that the beast absolutely, he wants to sit on that throne. He was very upset if he understood what Jesus would have done on the cross, he would never have crucified them. I think Paul even said that. So the point is, Jesus took that authority back. Satan wants it back. How is he going to do it? He's going to get the 10 kings to give him their power. It's in Revelation 13. So Satan is going to rule. He says, come, let me take my throne and put it in the sky the next to God, and I will rule from here. That was his biggest sin. He became exceptionally self-important and full of pride, and he said he can be God. So he's moving his throne up into space, exactly as scripture said us. They're going to crown one king. Is going to come in as a peacemaker. And I've been following the Royal British Family since I was a little girl. I watched Prince Charles and Diana get married. I watched the little boys being born. And understanding now what that throne represents, that is the throne of David. I think, I cannot say it, but this is what the Holy Spirit revealed to me. That throne is going to move to Israel. Hence the exceptional turmoil going on in Britain at the moment. That entire throne will move back to Israel. Originally, Israel, the Holy Land, has never been called Israel. It wasn't named Israel. Israel is the people. It was the northern tribes and southern tribes. You had Judah and King David who ruled from the northern tribes, and it was the United Kingdom of Israel. But after they were dispersed, that land has never been named Israel, never been. And God says that the Holy Land will be trampled by Gentiles until the fullness of the Gentiles, until Jesus comes back. So Jesus hadn't come back yet, so that land is being trampled by the Gentiles. And they pretend to be a certain people, but they are not. They're liars, like Jesus said, you are of your father. Yeah. And their father is a liar.
No, I'm following what you're saying. Do you think the great deception enters in here?
I think the great deception has been in play for a long time. I mean, how many times have you shown people things? I mean, clear, black and white. There it is. There's the facts. They just don't see it. There's a strong delusion as a result of sin on the world today. And it's only the Holy Spirit that can wake you up. And I have realized this. I mean, I've in the beginning I used to fight people and just like, trying to show them the truth, and they don't want to know the truth. So, I mean, what are you going to do? Beat them to a pulp until they say they won't see it unless their eyes are open. And this just brings me to when the servant of Elisha woke him up and said, "You better come. There's a huge army outside. We are in big trouble." And Elisha just simply said to him, "Don't worry about it. Those who are with us is more than with them." And then he prayed and said, "Father, please remove the scales from his eyes." And this is again coming to the sealed frequencies that we are in. Scales came off and he saw a vast angelic army far outnumbering the people or the threat that they were facing at that point. So, yes, a lot of people have very thick scales on their eyes, and I don't know if they'll ever wake up from it.
I've always had a take on this, and I wanted to run this by you really quick. When my dad was working with captured German scientists and they were doing the theoretical physics conversions, it wasn't laboratory yet, it was theoretical. And he asked him, he said, "How did you get so far ahead of us?" And he said, "We got this technology from aliens." And my dad said, "Did you ever meet the aliens?" And they said, "Well, no, but our commanders did." My dad, when he was telling me these stories, the last 2 years of his life, he said, they weren't dealing with aliens. They were dealing with demonic entities. And then one of my friends who John had on his show back in the 90s, Vance Davis, he was with the NSA. He quit the NSA and the Army because they wanted him to channel demonic entities for technological development. And what I'm wondering here is, if going forward, is this not going to culminate like in a fake alien invasion using technology designed to unite the 10 kingdoms?
Absolutely, because you cannot negotiate peace if you don't have war, right? They have been lining us up for decades now about disclosure. The funny thing is, I read last night, I was reading the book of Jubilees, I think. Jubilees, yes. Also, it references the same story in Enoch, and it also references some of this in the Dead Sea Scrolls. So it's been confirmed. But what happened when God sent the flood? He because there was so much Nephilim and so much destruction. Because we need to understand, this is a seed war. This is a war between his seed, Satan's seed, and the seed of the woman. And this has been ongoing ever since. So the point is, how Satan cannot see the future, but he can read scripture. And when God said that the Savior would come through the seed of the woman, he thought, that's easy to stop. We'll just contaminate the seed, you know, so then the Savior can't be born. So this has been his plan, to try and stay one step ahead and invert everything.
Changing our genders. There you go.
Exactly. So that's exactly the whole thing that Moloch, have you noticed the star between Moloch's eyes? It's the same star on that flag. Okay, right. I'm just saying. So then what happened is, all these Nephilim died in the flood. Their spirits, which was evil, left their bodies, but they weren't redeemed. They were unnatural creations. So these evil spirits roamed the earth. Mm-hmm. Then when you get to the book of Esdras, Jubilees, and Dead Sea Scrolls, and it tells us what happened. Now Noah, his sons, and his wife, when they started to now multiply and start living, these evil spirits, and there were thousands of them, were absolutely just terrorizing them. So I think it was Seth went to Noah and said, Dad, this is terrible. These evil spirits are not leaving us alone. So Noah prayed, and then God came in and he said, okay, we'll send them to the middle of the earth to wait there until judgment day. And then Satan interfered, and they gave him a name. I forget what it is now at this, but it starts with an M, Masha, I forget. But the point is, Satan then intervened. He said, no. He cannot let all of them go, because he will not be able to accomplish his task to torment humanity if he sends all of them. So he needs to leave some of them behind. And then God said, okay, I'll leave 10% on earth. Now, to me, that's confusing. Why would God do that? But we do understand that there is a court case going on right now. Satan rebelled. God threw him out. He repealed based on the fact that God is not just. Okay? And what is playing out on earth now is Satan's repeal trying to prove that God is not just. So that agreement, leaving 10% of evil spirits on earth, it's probably got something to do with the appeal and God being just, so because I don't understand why he did that.
Yeah, I've always wondered that too. That doesn't make sense to me. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but
yeah,
but there is a verse in Genesis 6, and I believe it's at the end of verse 4. It says, "And they were there afterward." Who's
yes.
the they, the Nephilim? And what's afterward? The next verse is about the flood.
Yeah, the flood, and then after the flood. Because if you look at it again, because now fast forward and you get to King David, this is years after the flood, and Goliath shows up. That's a Nephilim. So it was they were there. Before the flood, it was insane. After the flood, they came back. A lot of them came back, and a lot of these evil spirits, because you have certain, I don't know if you've heard of the Archons. These are the original watchers that Enoch documented, Bilal being the main one that hatched the plan. But they rule the world. Those are evil spirits. They communicate with their Nephilim children on earth who torments the humans. And then if you go to the book of Jude, it said that those evil entities who did not stay in their place and left, come to earth and defiled women, they are locked up inside earth with chains until judgment day. But not all of them were locked up. And then if you look at some of the Nephilim, they were aquatic as well. A lot of them live under in the ocean. So those ones survived. So some of them came back, some of them survived.
Mm-hmm.
I know scripture says all of them were wiped out. Yes, all of the Nephilim were wiped out, but the evil spirits and the Archons were still there.
And demonic possession follows.
And that's exactly what happened.
So, you know, I got to share this anecdote with you because it fits so well. Now, you have to remember, when this happened, I was only 23 years old, okay? I was young and I was single. Friends of mine set me up on a blind date that I resisted going on. So they stayed with us for a while, then they left. She was attractive, intelligent. She was a teacher. And I said, "Well, what grade do you teach?" And she said, "Well, I don't teach a particular grade. I teach alien hybrids how to fit into society." Now, at that time, here's my 23-year-old mind. Today, I would have stayed there and engaged her for a long time because I would want to know more. I couldn't wait to get away from her because I thought this person was nuts. But I look back on that experience now, and could she have been demonically possessed in carrying out the transformation of demonic spirits that have taken over human form and integrated in society?
Absolutely. She was probably a hybrid because one of the treaties that were made between governments and so-called aliens, demonic entities, was breeding rights. So they've infiltrated. We have Nephilim walking around on earth again.
Yes.
But they've experimented genetically so that they look more like us than, but they, you can see, I've actually, in my opinion, I have met some of them. There's something off. You just feel it in your soul.
I hear you. You know who I think is one of them?
Who?
I think there's two that I could point to. Mm-hmm. One is King Charles, and another is Macron.
Absolutely.
They have that look.
And if you look at their videos, them anywhere on earth where they, you know, do a press conference or this or that, and you slow that thing down, you can actually see the eyes and the teeth change. And it's usually a millisecond because they cannot keep, they're shapeshifters. They cannot keep that form for too long, specifically when you have cameras on them, because it changes frequencies. And, you know, I'm contemplating whether I should say this or not. Let me do that.
No censorship, Brandy, so go ahead.
Go and look at Erica Kirk's videos.
Oh
Slow
my
them down.
gosh.
Slow them
I have said
down.
the same thing about her eyes.
Something wrong there. I don't, I mean, I
Oh.
just what tells me, you're David, something happens to John. Let me tell you something. I would be a mess. Oh my God. I don't think I'd be able to speak. I would look like something that crawled out of, I don't know, a sewage drain. There would be no way that if something like that happened to John so publicly, that I would be dressed and
Oh, I
makeup
know. I know.
galore. I mean, there's no way. And then going on book tours, and I'll be a mess. I
I
mean, I'm
know.
sure everybody else has seen this. No?
No, it's crazy. I defended her early, said no one processes grief the same way. And I said, look, I have a mental health background. I've seen grief come in
Yes.
all different forms, but there are five basic elements you go through in various st ways and stages and orders. And she hasn't displayed any of them.
Not a single one. Not
No.
a single one. And to, it's just it's there's something off. I can't put my finger on it, but I do know and I do think that the same usual suspects is behind all of it, and it was to capture a narrative and to cover fraud. That's probably the long and short of it.
Well, I've talked to people in Romanian media, two of them, and I have that access because they interviewed me about 10, 12 years ago. And you know who had to approve my appearance? And this is far as very controversial. David Petraeus, CIA director that was fired, was put in charge of various things, including Romania media. And they had to go to him to get approval. CIA. And I will tell you what both Romanian media people heard. They reached out to me when I was doing the Erica Kirk thing. And I said, and Charlie Kirk. And I said, do you want me to come on and talk about what I found? No, Dave, they'd never allow it. But I will tell you this, if Erica Kirk came back to Romania, she would be arrested for child trafficking.
I totally believe that.
Yeah.
And I think Charlie Kirk was set up with her. I think
Yes.
she was some kind of honeypot. I mean,
I
for
agree.
lack of a better term. And I think she was in on it because you, I don't know. I don't want to say more than that because I really don't know what I don't know. But I can also, I have eyes and I have discernment, and something is definitely off. That's
Well,
all
I'll
I
just
can
say
say.
this. I'm uncovering some pretty suggestive, massive money laundering, and I'm not alone in TPUSA and finding this. Zach DeGregorio, an accountant here locally in Phoenix, is finding the same stuff I am. Okay. Charlie ordered an audit 8 days before his death. Erica Kirk canceled the audit. Does that sound like the actions of a widow?
Of a grieving widow, right?
Yeah.
I would, if it was me, I was like, go ahead,
I know. I know.
find what happened. But it doesn't even look like they, I mean, this Patsy that's going down for his murder, I mean, it's so obvious now. Dave, John and I were talking this morning, and John just said, the world has changed so much. And we all say that, but you know what? I said, I don't think the world has changed that much. I think it has been like this all along. We just woke up. We changed.
Interesting.
God said, come out of her, my people, so that you don't share in her sins. And that's what's happening to us. We are waking up. We're drawing closer to Father. The Holy Spirit is revealing these things to us. And because now we stand and we look in, we can see how messed up it is. But while you're in it, you're just in it, and you can't see the wood for the trees, and you don't know what you don't know. But I think a lot of people that have woken up and just looking around, thinking, oh, the world has changed. The world is still the same evil system. We have just woken up, and we are coming out of Babylon, and
Well,
that's what's happening.
you hit an important biblical concept here, because the Bible says in the end days the sins of the leaders will be revealed,
Amen.
and that's exactly what you're saying here, and I totally agree with you. You know, Brandy, I got to tell you, when I started in this business, I was a victim of John McCain, and my community was having its property rights stripped, and we were in danger of losing our land to John McCain's little special project, and so I started fighting against this. And that was in 2004. I had to really work to get information. When I started this business, I really had to work. Today, I have stuff that just lands on my lap and I have to decide what to cover. I mean, it's so ubiquitous. It's out there, it's everywhere. I don't have to go looking for it. It finds me.
It's true, and it's like I said, it is the spirit revealing. You said in the end times, people will run to and fro, and knowledge will increase, and that's what's happening. Knowledge is increasing. If I tell you how many people phone me just on a daily basis, what they found, and could you cover this? Could you cover this? As you are completely correct. You don't know what to touch anymore, and then when you look at something and you go, "Oh, this is interesting," you can get into it. It's like hair on fire, oh my God. So yeah, it's remarkable, but we also have to continuously pray for protection because there's a mark on our backs. I mean, you know what happened to your tech just now. I mean, if something doesn't blow up or telephone line goes down just before showtime, I mean, pick something, it has happened. And
Yeah, I know you guys have experienced interference in your programming and material. I experienced just this morning, and it's happened more than once. In fact, I'll give you the big one. Back in the days when we were fighting against John McCain, and we were in our former home in the city. We live in rural area north of Phoenix now, but we're in the city then. Okay, we got about 20 family members over. I got to do my show. I had the late Jim Mars on, and all of a sudden, eight shots fired over my house. Two eyewitnesses outside, neighbors saw it. Two guys in a van jumped in the van and drove off. They weren't trying to hit anybody, but it was a warning to me to shut up. So I've been there. I mean, I have been there on the violent side of things.
Well, John was on air the other day. I'm talking about probably 2, 3 weeks ago, not even that long. And I think it was an intelligence briefing. It was a Saturday night, or I'm it doesn't matter when. It was recent. Time just smears into days into. I mean, time is just a construct at this point. But he was just finished with his show. Oh, it wasn't. It was a Friday because John was on the phone with Mary Fanning talking about the next day's Arc Midnight. So he just came off his Friday night show. He was on the phone with Mary Fanning. So this must have been about 10 past 11 at night because the show ends at 11 p.m. Central. And the next thing, I have this giant wolf. A 200-pound white wolf dog, and he was lying by the front door, and John's on the phone with Mary. I'm in the kitchen making coffee, and the next thing, there's this knock on the door, but not just a knock. It's like bah, 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 bah. I mean, breaking down the door. My dog instantly loses it and bah, 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 starts barking crazy. The other dog and got involved, so it's just trauma. John can't hear Mary. He goes, "What's going on?" I said, "I don't know." So John said to Mary, he'll call her back. And, I said to John, "Don't go out. Please don't go out. You don't know what's waiting out there for you." So anyways, nothing happened. It was just gone. They must have gotten a fright when the dog started barking, is what I thought. So the next morning, I'm on my balcony working. I just go outside on the balcony, look at the pretty pond across the backyard. And my neighbor says to me, "Was there some activity at your house last night?" I'm like, "Yes, we had this stupid knock on the door." And then he said, because he looked out the window, he heard the dogs bark, and he saw two people run across the road and jump in a car and race away. So more than that, we don't know.
Wow.
But why would, I mean, that's pretty rough when they start finding out where you live, you know? So it's scary. It's not
I
easy
know.
to do what we do.
I've had the same thing. We had our patio furniture on our front porch rearranged. Yeah, exactly. It
Oh,
was
wow.
done when
Wait
we
to.
weren't home. Yeah, I mean, I've had all kinds of anomalies happen. I've even had my car moved, and it's been a number of years now, but my car was moved. And I know when I parked next to something because I knew I was going to be carrying something out big. And my car was on the other side of the parking lot when I finally found it.
How insane. But you know,
Yeah.
there are very various ways that they do this. They have agents who does it, who just mess with you, but then there's spiritual entities too. You have evil spirits who does stuff, invoked by witchcraft. But then there's another component too. These witches, they call it something to do with a golden string, and they leave their bodies, And they actually go and torment you. They call it human spirits. And that is the most dangerous because they don't respond to the name of Jesus like an evil spirit does, because they are,
I plead the
it's just
blood of
horrible.
Jesus Christ. I've been told to invoke that phrase when you encounter those entities. And I've been told this by people who've encountered them, people I actually know well. Fortunately, I don't think I have. But I will tell you, you mentioned that you think you've encountered some of these surviving spirits from the flood, these evil demonic spirits. I have the feeling too sometimes when I talk to people, you said like Erica Kirk, there's an empty vessel there. There's a lack of spiritual dimension to them. There's a lack of emotion. It's just very mechanical, and they are usually very manipulative. And I've encountered people like that. In fact, I've talked to a couple on the phone. They were potential guests, and I just got creepy feelings. And I said, I just don't think it's a good idea if you come on my show.
That has happened. That has happened to us as well. And talking to people, and then just suddenly the creep factor kicks in. It's
You want to hear something creepy?
absolutely.
Oh my gosh, you're not gonna, you're, speaking of Erica Kirk, she's the CEO. So at AmFest that they had in Phoenix, she would have had to have approved all the major booths in the setting, okay? They had a setting there, I kid you not. It was a mock-up of the tent that Charlie was assassinated in, and people were invited in to take selfies next to his portrait. Can you imagine a widow approving that 3 months after the death of her husband?
No, I can't. And then again, that's another creep factor. It's
It's cringeworthy. I just
a
can't believe
spiritual
it.
battle.
Well,
It's a spiritual battle.
let me
All of
ask you
it.
this, because we got about 2 minutes left, so it'll have to be my last question. Is Elon Musk, because we're dealing with space control of all these elements that you mentioned earlier, are they going to be using Starlink for this? Yes?
He just put a tweet out last night that I saw, that he said it is no so some it is now so much easier to scale the implants because they're going through some kind of, I think, below your brainstem, and they can now mass implant these chips. That means you are automatically hooked up to a mainframe. Your
It's
brain will.
transhumanism.
Yeah, you
Yeah.
are not, you'll be part of the Borg. That is, in my opinion, the mark of the beast. Once they have done that, how do you escape that? No way.
Wow, I think you're onto something there. I
Plus,
think
with
that
all these satellites in the space and what I explained about the UN Space Treaty, go and look at the very last executive order signed by President Trump on space, I think on the 21st of December, where America has now taken full control of the military arm of space. Just go and look at that executive order. I haven't read the full
I
thing
will.
yet,
I'll go look at it.
but
But
that
I'm not
plays into
surprised.
this. Yeah.
But you know what? You really made an impression on me when you said Mark of the Beast. I think you're right on the money with that. My instincts right there said she's right. Brendy, we're flat out of time, and we're going to have to do a part two on this because I feel like we're in midstream. But I'd like you to tell people how they can follow your good work at Jellyfish and also how to follow Caravan to Midnight.
Absolutely. Just go to jellyfish.news. We are aggregate site. We post stories from all over the world, sourced and looked by humans, no AI involved. And then my articles, just click on my name, brandywells.com. I write a lot of deep dives. That's where you will find me. And then Caravan to Midnight, we stream. We are on AM, FM radio. Just go to arcmidnight.com. All the stations we are on is there. And then you can find us on YouTube or X or Rumble, wherever people can stream Getter. And we are there when live, 9 to 11
Best show
p.m.
is the best show out there right now. And there are a lot of good shows out there, but it's the best show out
Including
there.
this one that I'm on at the moment. I'm so honored. Thank you so much,
Well,
Dave, for
thank you. You're
having
very
me.
kind to say that. And Brendy, we're going to have to do this again because, like I said, we got cut off in midstream here. This has been really interesting, and I know we're going to get a lot of comments on this show. Thank you so much for joining us. God bless you.
God bless you too. Bye-bye.